Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time to roll out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of those popping up sometime tomorrow morning over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right. Well, luckily, Dan, there appears to be only two stories in sports today. So which one did you want to start with?
The biggest shocking, surprising news of the entire century.
I don't know which one. Well, no, that wouldn't be a surprise. So it's got to be the other one, right? So what was that one? I forgot.
Oh, LeBron knocked it out.
Oh, yeah, that guy. So, you know, I forgot all about that guy. So you know how that goes. Yeah, no surprise. He's going to walk away from $35 million.
Well, I just don't get how, you know, I was getting updates with breaking news. Like,
yeah,
what is so breaking about it?
So, well, just because it was official. You know, I tweeted you the minute it became official, so you would know I did not want you to miss out at all. Any second of the fantastic LeBron news. So I made sure to hit you up right away so you could be all over it and we would know exactly what was going on at this point. And what is exactly going on at this point? Absolutely nothing. So.
But he opted out.
Yeah. And so did how many other guys today?
They don't count.
You know, it's... Right, you know, it's just kind of like, oh boy, you know, let the BS begin, because now we're gonna hear about it every day until he decides to sign with the Lakers or show up here or there or whatever the heck else this schmuck is gonna do. Because I just don't care. I really don't. I don't care where he plays. I don't care who he plays with. You know, it's kind of like, you know, everybody's positive that he's going to L.A. because the Lakers have the most cap room. You know what's odd, Dan, is the Cavaliers can offer him, I believe it's, what is it, $53 million more in a contract than any other team can. I mean, that's just smart business, right?
So that's the reason behind the opt-out.
Yeah, the Cavaliers can offer him 5 years at $205 million. Nobody else can do better than 4 years at $152 by NBA rule. So that, you know, that's just kind of how it worked out. But yeah, I mean, to, you know, I mean, I get it. He doesn't need the money. You know, it's not like LeBron James is hurting for a payday or anything here. But, you know, that's a boatload of money to leave on the table. We all know, if, you know, why does he want to go out west and get beat by Golden State or Houston in the early rounds when he can stay in the East with Cleveland and get to the Eastern Conference Finals and have a chance to go to the NBA Finals? You know, it just makes more sense for him to stay in Cleveland. Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. How much do you care where he signs?
Not even a little bit.
So, you know, we'll have to see. And then, of course, you know, there's the Kawhi Leonard talk. It just happens to be Leonard's 27th birthday. So, you know, we'll have to see. You know, the one story I was reading was apparently the 76ers are the team right now that has the most interest in him. But we'll see if and how and when that will be. Big time. So, there you go. Hey, we got to talk about LeBron. Look at that. We wrapped it up in about 5 minutes. Now, what's the other big story, Dan?
Chris Bryant.
Who? No, Chris Bryant's not a big story. So at least you're in the right sport, though.
I didn't see. So you have to enlighten me.
Oh no, I think you know. You're just not remembering. What starts tonight? Huh? Huh?
Friday? I don't
Come
know.
On, what's the only important series in baseball that starts tonight? Where no other series matters because these two teams are playing each other through the weekend? And we will all have to watch it because all three games are on the major networks.
Oh, that's your favorite time of the year then.
Yes. That is my favorite time of the year. We have, of course, it's the Boston Red Sox at the New York Yankees. And I believe the game is on MLB Network tonight. So that, of course, means I'll get to listen to the fantastic Michael Kay when I turn the game on because they'll use the Yankees announcers. It's Eduardo Rodriguez against your guy CC Sabathia tonight. Tomorrow, they're the Fox game, where it's Chris Sale against Sonny Gray. And then, no surprise, Sunday night, they're the Mickey Mouse Network game where we get David Price against Luis Severino. I know you're super excited for this, Dan. What's the wonderful outcome of this series? The Yankees sweep, the Red Sox sweep. That means one of them's going to run away with the division after this series. Well, what goes on here?
Yankees take it all, and JD Martinez hits 5 home runs tonight, and I finally win the home run derby with 10 home runs because Bryce Harper will hit 3 and Mike Trout will hit at least 2.
Oh, hey, that means I'll have 6, or I'll have 5 of them, so that'll work out. The Red Sox are coming in on a 4-game winning streak. The Yankees did lose last night. The Yankees are just a game behind them in the American League East. You know, again, it's June. I believe after this, I heard somebody say there's 13 more games. So, you know, again, it's 3 games at the end of June that in reality mean absolutely diddly squat, except for the fact that it's the Yankees and the Red Sox, and everybody's going to talk about it. So,
but they have 13 more games between the two after this series?
Yes, so we can do this 13 more times after this. Oh, no, we're not here to talk about it tomorrow. Maybe Sunday I can talk about it with Mr. Fantasy. But the Red Sox did make a move today, Dan. They went out and they picked up Steve Pierce from the Toronto Blue Jays in exchange for minor league infielder Santiago Espino. The Blue Jays are also going to throw in $1.66 million, probably to cover what the rest of Pierce is owed. He's been a bit of a utility guy through his career, but this year he's played both corner outfield positions and first base. He's hitting .291 with 4 homers and 16 RBIs, but he played in just 26 games for Toronto. He's a solid bat. I mean, you know, when he did play full time for the, well, almost full time for the Orioles 1 year, he did put up 21 bombs. So, you know, he's got some power. I guess, does he give, is it he the right-handed first base alternative? Do you see him for the Red Sox now?
Yeah, I actually thought he was a pitcher.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, because obviously Hammy's gone. You know, he's been gone for a while, and it's just kind of Mitch Moreland there. The minor leaguer the Red Sox gave up, he was actually playing in high class A. Through 65 games, he was hitting .313 with 7 homers and 32 RBIs. He also had 9 steals and 3 triples. So, he looks like he's having a solid season where he is. He's 23 though, high class A. That's a little off-putting, but, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll take a little more time to develop. But yeah, you know, Pearson had some injury issues. That's why he was limited to just 26 games. You know, again, I wonder, you know, earlier in the week, we talked about the Red Sox signed Brandon Phillips. You know, Pierce has had some second base experience through his career. You know, nobody's really said anything, but Dustin Pedroia, you know, we talked about him a little earlier. You know, it just looks like the Red Sox added another guy just in case he's done.
I think so. I mean, again, Pierce played that option, the other infield positions too. Does that help?
Yeah, he spent a little time at second and a little time at third throughout his career. You know, he doesn't have a ton of experience, but, you know, I'm sure he could plug in a, you know, maybe a late inning situation where you want to get his bat in. He's actually played 33 games at second and just 12 at third. So he has a little more experience there. You know, so that kind of works out. But this is a kind of humorous here, Dan. I didn't realize this about Steven Pearce. By being acquired by the Red Sox, he has now played for every team in the AL Central.
Central? You mean E?
Or, sorry, the AL East. Yeah, the AL East. Sorry, wrong. Wrong deal there. So.
Well, that's pretty cool.
But yeah.
The one thing I was going to ask you if you knew off the top of your head, did the Mets release Jose Bautista yet?
Not off the top of my head. Why were they supposed to?
No, I mean, that's been kind of the MO. And, you know, you were talking first base, you're talking Dustin Pedroia being out. I mean, you know, if the Mets were to kind of get rid of him, how interesting would it look to have Bautista play on your team for a couple hundred thousand?
Yeah, you know, and humorously, he has played a little second base with the Mets since he's been over there. So, but no, he's still, you know, well, the Mets said they're taking offers on everybody. You know, that includes DeGrom and Syndergaard. So, you know, you never know. Maybe something comes up and Bautista ends up wearing a Red Sox uniform. How wonderful would that be?
I just thought it would be interesting. Because he's been playing, well, was it last week he played pretty well? I don't know if he's going to continue that success, but... You know, I mean, if you're looking for a guy who's not, you don't really need full time, who can kind of be thrown in here and there, you know, maybe he can play a little bit more full time, especially if the Bo Sox need it. I thought maybe it'd be a good option and to save money. And like you said, with the pitchers being open, you know, that was one thing we've talked about with the Red Sox. And I think it's something that they need to shore up to kind of keep the playoffs kind of contention going. Is do you think they'd be a good fit to acquire one of the Mets pitchers?
Well, you know, when you got pitchers like that, I think, you know, they kind of fall in that Machado category. If you can land a DeGrom or a Syndergaard, yeah, they're good fits anywhere. You know, even for a team like the Astros, who have this wonderful starting rotation. But yeah, you know, you know, with the exception of Drew Pomeranz, who can't seem to stay healthy this year, the Red Sox rotation has been pretty good, but that, of course, means they could use one more guy. So, hey, why not? You know, they have a fantastic farm system. You know, they could stock up on, you know, help the Mets restock, because I'm guessing that's what their plan is here, even though I think this is an incredibly stupid idea on their part. There was also talk, I saw some articles today that Zach Wheeler is drawing interest in teams. So, yeah, you know, think about it. If the Mets actually do this, which is what the Mets are, from that vaunted rotation that led them to the World Series, Harvey is already gone, and they would have moved Syndergaard and DeGrom. The only guy left would be Steven Matz, and I don't know if they would deal him off. So, you know, I guess my question, though, is if they do sell these guys off, Dan, who the hell pitches for them?
So, Jose Bautista.
Yeah. You know, I know they have Lugo, who they said they didn't want to deal, and Robert Gesselman, but not exactly the same comparison level there when you're talking DeGrom, Syndergaard, and you can even throw Wheeler into that mix. There's absolutely zero comparison between these guys. And again, I don't understand what the hell the Mets are thinking, which I guess is not.
I don't either. I mean, maybe it's one of those where they need to sell off the office and get somebody else in there. I don't know. I think Mickey Callaway, I don't know. I just think of golf whenever I hear that name, but regardless, I don't think he was the answer. Okay, at least I'm not the only one. I don't think he was the answer to what their issue was. So, I mean, let's be honest. I don't really know a whole lot about the front office, but is this the team that somebody's taking a leave in their office?
Yeah, Sandy Alderson has left to deal with a cancer-related issue. So,
but, you know, no offense to him, but since he's been in, this team hasn't really gone any. The biggest thing they did really was sign David Wright. So was it 2013?
Yeah.
I believe it was to a 7-year extension for $100 million. I think that's been about the biggest thing they've done. Well, next to acquiring Jonas, I mean, the Jay Bruce pickup was a decent pickup, but, you know, they didn't really make a splash in any of the off seasons or trade deadlines over the last couple of years. So, you know, I think he needs to just stay home. And I don't think it has, you know, I'm not saying it has anything to do with what he's going through in his personal life. I just don't think he's maybe cutting it for the job, for what the Mets need.
No.
I think they were able to keep their players, keep the players intact, and get rid of Mickey Callaway and the front office. I think you start over that way and you could really start to build something better.
The humorous thing, like you mentioned the Jay Bruce signing, which in reality was incredibly stupid on their part because they already had Brandon Nimmo in their system. So you bring in Bruce and you sign him to a big deal, and now Nimmo is your fourth outfielder. He's been your best outfielder. But yet he's the fourth guy. So when Cespedes and Bruce come back, Nimmo goes back to the bench, which is, again, incredibly stupid. You know, I like the Adrian Gonzalez signing, but I thought they were going to have him mentor Dominic Smith, not send Dominic Smith to the minors and let him play in AAA for no apparent reason, where he's not going to learn anything from a guy like Adrian Gonzalez. Then they decide to release Gonzalez to bring Smith up. So now he's here at the major league level where he can play every day. And instead of having a guy with a fantastic career resume to mentor you, you're splitting time with Wilmer Flores. Yeah. Wonderful job.
I didn't even realize that. So he's splitting time with a guy who's predominantly a second short.
Yeah. Middle. Basically, a guy who's been a middle infielder his whole career. So, but yeah, you know, and you kind of wonder. I mean, I get it. You know, they had some bad luck. I mean, Travis Donald was supposed to be the next catching prodigy, and it just hasn't worked out. I mean, the guy just can't stay healthy. You know, he's 29 now. He's got Tommy John. We're not going to see him till next year. You know, they might as well cut bait. You know, you wonder why they're not playing Thomas Nieto more. He's a 24-year-old catcher in their system. You know, maybe he should be catching every day, but no, instead you swap Matt Harvey for Devin Mesoraco, who has fantastic power, but he's 30 years old and he's hitting 220. So, you know, when you start looking at the decisions they made, you know, they brought in Todd Frazier, and I understand you got him on a good deal. Well, Todd Frazier is being Todd Frazier. He does have 8 bombs, but he's hitting 217. So, you know, it's not the pitching that's the issue here. It's the way they constructed the hitting on this roster that is all the problems here.
You know what this team reminds me of, though, and kind of why I mentioned that maybe something in the front office needs to change. Up until this year, who does this team sound like? I mean, it's pretty close to home. Mr. Fantasy's White Sox.
Yeah,
does it not?
Yeah, it sounds like what the White Sox used to do. You bring in enough veteran guys so you think you're going to contend, and then it doesn't work out.
Yeah, well, you know, what it does, too, is it sells some jerseys and some tickets, and then
come August,
September, everyone realizes, like, well, this team's going nowhere. We might as well just stay home.
You know, but I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, if I'm the Mets, I'm not looking to move my pitchers, but, you know, like if Cespedes comes back and he's healthy, he would be a great get for a contender. I'm looking to move him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see what you can get. You know, Astrobal Cabrera is having a career year. When a guy like this is having a career year, you need to move him because there's probably a pretty good chance he's not going to do it again. So, you know, I mean, you know, you need to be able to shuffle these guys off and bring back, you know, some younger hitters, you know, where you can get these guys some playing time. And, I mean, you know, at least they're playing Amed Rosario. But, you know, Dominic Smith needs to play every day, even against left-handers. You know, I mean, at this point, like I mentioned, Thomas Nieto needs to catch every day. I get it. He hit .159 when he was here. But he didn't play every day. Put him behind the dish, let him catch every day and see how he goes. You know, at this point in time, what do you have to lose? You need these young hitters to start getting the experience they need before your pitchers get old and you can't match them. But, yeah, you know, instead of that, they seem like they're buying the hype of, well, we're going to sell off all these guys, and then we're going to rebuild. And, yeah, you're never going to freaking win. So good luck, guys. Way to screw up a franchise that had so much potential. So, and, you know, I'm looking at their top prospects, but, you know, like all top prospect lists, all these guys are in – you know, A, or they actually do have a you know, wonderful enough just like a first baseman in AAA. But, you know, all the other guys are hiding in Class A where people can go, oh, no, we never said he was a top prospect all these years ago. So, you know, you can never tell anything with these guys anymore. So,
well, and, you know, on your end of it, well, your perspective, I can't argue with you and I don't disagree with you. I don't know, how do you even put it nice, the reasoning behind wanting to trade away your pitching, your star pitching. But now let me have you flip and get off of being like kind of coming from the Mets fan point of view. Let me get you from everyone else's point of view and the other 31, well, maybe not 31 teams, but let's just say approximately, let's go with 12 teams, you know, half the league, so to speak. How excited are you and what are you scrambling to do or trying to come up with to be able to bring Noah Syndergaard or Jacob DeGrom? Because, I mean, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't remember, but I know we've gone over this a couple of times, and I think both these pitchers are locked at least through 2020 up until maybe 2022, somewhere in there before they even become UFA'd. How excited is this news for you if you're on that end of it?
Oh, God, yeah. You know, Syndergaard, Dan, do you realize that Noah Syndergaard is just 25 years old? Can you imagine landing a 25-year-old ace? You know, I mean, that's just, you know, literally unheard of in today's game. I mean, you know, you look at the other aces and they're all, you know, they're all older. So yeah, I mean, you can land a 25-year-old guy, you know, that you can, you know, hopefully, you know, re-sign or keep around. You know, like this year he's making under $3 million. It's a 2.975 through arbitration, and he doesn't hit free agency till 2022. So not only will you get him for all of 18, you got 19, 20, and 21. You got 3.5 years of Noah Syndergaard. And then, you know, I mean, if things continue, you bring him back. Oh, good Lord. You know, this is the guy you're willing to give up the farm for. You know, this is the Chris Sale deal that the White Sox got when they shipped him off. You know, these are the kind of things you look for. DeGrom, you get till 2021. Yeah. If you deal him, he is making $7.4 million this year. Well, you get him for 2.5 years. Now he's 30 years old, so he's a little older. So, but even so, I mean, you're looking at two guys who are legitimate aces at the top of your rotation. You know, I mean, there's, you know, any contender is lining up for these guys, and I honestly hope my Mariners are on the damn phone. Because, you know, they like to make deals. Jerry DePoto loves to make trades in Seattle. Freaking bring me one of these guys. Good Lord, please. You know, and then when the playoffs roll around and we meet the Astros, we can run out the King, James Paxton, and Jacob DeGrom, or Noah Syndergaard. I'll take that matchup. So, you know, I mean, imagine adding one of those guys. Who's the other team with the great prospects, Dan? The Dodgers. Imagine adding a Syndergaard or a DeGrom in behind a healthy Kershaw. You guys wanted to bury the Dodgers early? Yeah, add this into the rotation. The hell with Manny Machado. You know, he can go away and do whatever the hell he wants. You know, add me one of these starters, and, you know, I'm jumping into the fire with these guys. I mean, hopefully for Dan and Stu and all the other Cub fans, the Brewers don't jump in on this. You know, they've been getting very good pitching out of basically journeyman guys. You know, you add an ace into them, and I believe they have a couple of their injured pitchers are starting to rehab. You know, now this is, you know, like the last thing, you know, the Cubs or anybody else wants to see, you know, is have the Brewers all of a sudden add a guy like this, and it's like, ah, crap. So, you know, I mean, yeah, just, you know, if you're a contender or even a team that might just be outside of contending, you know, you're looking to get into this. I mean, the list is just, you know, running wild. I mean, you know, besides just like the Red Sox and the Yankees, you know, you're looking at Indians, Astros, Mariners, A's, Angels, and that's just the American League side. You know, the Braves don't have an ace for an anchor. You know, how great of an ad would that be? You could, you know, the Phillies could mix one more in. You know, it wouldn't hurt the Nationals to have one more in. I mentioned the Brewers. The Cubs need help. The Cardinals need help. Hell, if the Pirates think they're hanging around, they could use help. You know, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Giants, even the Rockies. You know, I mean, again, you could just go down team after team after team. And if you're landing one of these guys who you're going to now have for multiple years, and who knows, maybe you can go to Syndergaard and say, hey, you know, we're going to give you a 7-year deal at, I don't know, $210 million. We're going to eat up your last couple option years, you know, your arbitration years, and you're going to be here for the next 7 years. All right, well, now you just lock this guy up till he's 32 or 33. Boy, you know, that's a hell of a guy to get to build a staff around. You know, absolutely nothing, nothing wrong with rolling that out and throwing those guys out there. Sorry, I didn't realize you dropped off. I was ranting.
Yeah. No, it's all right. I like to hear it. Now, you know, I think, you know, like you said, especially, you know, for you being the Mariners guy, that would be a great way to get maybe get some more butts in the seats, but which I don't even know if they have that problem, but, you know, maybe securing, like you said, going up against the Astros in the playoffs. But, you know, have you taken a look at the Angels? I mean, you know, I'm trying to get out there just a little bit because obviously with the Ohtani issues, which I did read, and we forgot that's the third biggest news story, is that he's being cleared to start hitting. Do they have what it takes? Or, I mean, you know, obviously anyone would be interested, but do you think they'd be a team that would be going after him? Or, you know, going
you know,
like,
with
hey.
All the yeah, with all the damn injuries that they suffer with their pitching staff, you would think they would be a team that would be, you know, would definitely be interested. You know, and that's, you know, that's if they want to contend. I mean, you know, they're hanging around at 500 right now. So, you know, if they're going to do it, they need to do it because that division is slowly getting away from them. You know, the A's have moved in front of them. You know, the Mariners are about 10 games in front of them, and then the Astros are 14 in front of them. And, you know, the target is on the Mariners' back. They're that second wild card team. So they're the team everybody's chasing. Yeah.
But,
so,
but
you know, you've got to –
You know, what doesn't make sense to me is, you know, in the NBA, all we have to do is hear, all we ever hear about is the greatest player on the earth, you know, in the galaxy. I'm surprised they haven't gone that far yet, that plays the game. And oddly, though, the last almost 10 years, he's played on the best team. Granted, it's the East and it's not the West, but, you know, boy, we're going to give it to him because it's hands down. But why is it that the, quote, greatest baseball player today is on a team that's only won one division since he's been there, and now they've fallen behind the Oakland Athletics, and they're just sitting at 500? I just, the concept, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, well, you know, that's baseball in a nutshell. You know, one guy cannot carry a baseball team. One guy can carry, you know, we saw LeBron carry the Cavaliers all year. You know, that's doable. There's, you know, 10 guys on the court, 4 of them play with you. You know, that's a piece of cake. But there's so much more that goes with baseball that lone guy or that lone gunman, no matter how good he is, can't win it for you. You know, and that's the one thing, you know, that, you know, I think we'll always knock Mike Trout for. He is the best player in the game. He's won absolutely nothing. You know, you can have all the MVP awards and, you know, you can hand it to him hand over fist. I know they're giving it to him this year. No questions asked. It doesn't matter what kind of year J.D. Martinez has. Maybe he'll get some East Coast support, but everybody else is voting for Trout. You know, but again, you know, you're going to look at a guy who's going to win the MVP award on what could be a sub-500 team. But when it comes to him, that doesn't matter. That would be a big deal if, you know, say we were giving it to Nolan Arenado, who's having a fantastic year in the National League. You know, the Rockies are under 500. That would be a big deal then. But when it comes to Trout, none of that matters. It all goes out the window. You know, it's Hitman. Here's your award. It doesn't matter what your team does. And then they blame the team for everything. Well, you know, they didn't put guys around them. You know, they did this, they did that. Well, you know, they gave him Ohtani. You know, they can't help that he got hurt. You know, they went out and picked up Zach Cozart. He got hurt. You know, I mean, just, you know, things like this, it happens. So, you know, Albert's playing better, but.
Now, so. You know, I know interdivision trades are kind of taboo, so to speak. But when you look at the top 50, top 100 prospects, the top 50, the Braves have, where am I at? Is it 3?
Yeah.
1, 2? They have 4, 5 in the top 50. granted, I don't believe, you know, Acuna's number one, but I don't see him. I don't see the Braves trading him. I think he's insane. You know. So you've got Braves have four in the top 50, a couple position players, a couple pitchers. And then, well, at 50 and 51, they've got another pitcher, another third baseman. So they've got the, you know, a group of, you know, kind of big prospects. They almost have roughly, after having to give up all their international signings, they almost have 10 in the top 100, give or take, you know, a couple. The White Sox, of course, have them, but a handful of them are pitchers. And, you know, I mean, let's just throw those two teams out there. What are your thoughts on the White Sox and the Braves?
Yeah, well, you know, that's, you know, again, it's that other situation. I mean, if I'm the White Sox, and this is where strictly Syndergaard comes into play, he's a guy I would be in on. You have enough prospects to go get him. Now, obviously, it doesn't matter for this year. But, again, you know, he's locked up for, you know, three more years beyond this, and there's nothing saying you cannot re-sign him. So, you know, if you think or when you think you're going to be ready, you know, and like we heard all the Machado BS and all that with them, we knew that wasn't going to happen. But again, a 25-year-old ace, oh, there you go. You know, I mean, they have the prospect. You know, they could even ship a guy like James Shields along so the Mets would get a starter off of it. And Shields is in the last year of his deal, so the White Sox could pick up that cash. So, you know, it would work out okay. You know, it's definitely an option. You know, the Braves are the same way. You know, again, I think, like you said, interdivision, it's, you know, it's probably a little more difficult. You know, you just got to wonder how much the Mets are asking, and, you know, if that, you know, if a contender will step up and answer it, or maybe just somebody a little on the outside who knows they're going to have this guy for a few years makes that call.
Yeah, I mean, I think what ends up happening is we're going to be surprised kind of by whoever lands, you know, is able to land them if they do go that route. Sadly, for the rest of the American League East, I don't think that division matters this season. It's been one of the best divisions in baseball over, you know, the past couple of years. But when I see two teams that are just killing it, like the Yankees and the Red Sox, I do not call that the best division in baseball, because it just, I think you have to have all the teams kind of killing it. You know, the West is definitely better, but it's kind of a down here. It's kind of a couple teams, you know, Houston, Seattle, and then really the Yankees and the Red Sox, with Cleveland just going to get it by default. Looking like if, you know, the season ends today, they'd be the worst of the best teams. But, I mean, you know, when I look at it, it's like, can Minnesota make that move, or Cleveland? You know, would Cleveland be able to make a move like that?
Yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, I don't know if Cleveland has the farm system, maybe. You know, it would be a perfect fit for them. You know, if they could do that and, you know, bring them in. You know, Minnesota, I'm not so sure, because they have a lot of, you know, like they have a lot of their kind of homegrown name guys that are in the last year of their contract. So I wonder if they would, you know, if they could make a move like that. But, you know, with the risk of losing those other guys, it could be difficult. You know, like it popped into my head, maybe the Giants would make that move, but I found a listing of farm systems and they have the Giants listed really low. So I just wonder, of course they have the Mariners lower than them. So maybe, you know, maybe this isn't where they're going. You know, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I was strictly basing it off looking at the top 100. I didn't really kind of look at, you know, the actual individual systems, because while rankings, I think, are good for writing articles, I don't think that, you know, where your team's minor league system is ranked is going to really matter to front office executives. You know, they're going to look at the, they're going after the individual players more so.
So, yeah, it, you know, it's always, you know, and again, it's so subjective because, you know, the, like the one thing I've learned is they like to rank a lot of those guys who are, you know, hanging out in Class A and hanging out in Class High A. And that is just so, so far away from where where we're talking these other guys are at. So, you know, it's just a gigantic difference. So, but yeah, you know, just, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the Mets do. I personally think they're handling it in the wrong way, but, you know, again, what the hell do I know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think selling guys that you could easily kind of rebound with over the next two seasons and make them, you know, put together a better team and not make them, but pretty much encourage them to re-sign over the next, you know, when their terms are up. I think that would be smart, but again, if you're on the other end of it, you know, from a contender wise, you know, I think the Braves or like you mentioned, the Mariners would be great spot to get either one of those pitchers. But then again, you know, with a team that's rebuilding and could possibly be somewhere in the next year or two, you know, well, to back up, I think the Brewers, like you mentioned, should be thrown in there too, the Cardinals. But I think the White Sox would have a huge advantage if they were able to pick up one of these two guys. And it would be great for their
You know, and I definitely wouldn't sneeze on, like, the Dodgers or the Yankees because, you know, if you could add a guy like that, boy, man, you automatically become a – you know, like, obviously you're a playoff contender now and people think the Yankees are a World Series contender. You automatically move up the board as, you know, a possible co-favorite. You know, when you add a player like that. So, you know, it's hard, you know, and I know the Yankees have, you know, they could include your guy, Clint Frazier, in a deal, you know, who they don't have room for. So, you know, he could be the headline piece to a deal that brought over one of those guys. And, you know, obviously it could be a big deal for them. So, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. But yeah, on a humorous note, yesterday, if you were listening, you know, Stu filled in for Dan yesterday, and we just kind of got to rambling, and I didn't bother to bring up my FanDuel lineup because Stu's not a fantasy player. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. He would just put all Cubs in his lineup, and it just wouldn't go well. So I didn't bother to mention it, and the damn lineup ended up winning $6. So I'm starting to wonder if maybe I should just keep my lineups quiet and see how it goes. But sadly, no, that's not the case. Here is today's lineup that I'm dropping out there. I spent $11,500 on Garrett Cole. Oddly, Dan and I just talked about it. My original pitcher was Jacob DeGrom, who was scratched for personal reasons. So hopefully there's nothing big there. But I went with Garrett Cole for $11,500. First base catcher, I'm going with Jesus Aguilar. He's $3,700, but he's been like the hottest player in the game, so I'm going to cool him off by putting him in my lineup. He's hitting third for the Brewers tonight. Second base, I got Yoan Moncada of the White Sox. He's leading off for them tonight, cost me $3,300. Supposed to be a big value play here tonight. Going with David Fries of the Pirates at third base, cost me just $2,100. My shortstop is Andrelton Simmons of the Angels. He's hitting fifth, cost me $3,300. My outfield starts with Nicholas Castellanos of the Tigers. He's hitting third, cost me $3,900. I think for the first time in maybe ever this year, I have two White Sox in my lineup. As I'm going with Daniel Pulka as my next outfielder, hitting cleanup for them, cost me $2,600. The outfield wraps up with Kevin Pillar of the Blue Jays. He's hitting sixth tonight. He's at $2,100. And then my utility guy is Austin Romine of the Yankees. He's hitting down in the eighth spot for them, cost me $2,300. Again, it's Garrett Cole pitching, Jesus Aguilar at first, Yoan Moncada at second, David Freese at third, Andrelton Simmons at short. The outfield is Nicholas Castellanos, Daniel Polka, and Kevin Pillar. And my utility guy is Austin Romine. I know the league just kicked off, but you can still go in and make late swaps and all that other fun stuff. So, you know, and then, of course, for Home Run Derby, you know, I'm all set. You know, two of my three guys, you know, I have Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. And, Dan, Mike Trout has already homered. So it looks like I got one on the board. Did you have Trout today?
Yes, I did.
So then my third guy, since it is shortstop week, I'm pairing them up with Marcus Semien of the Oakland A's. So I have Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and Marcus Semien in Home Run Derby. Dan, it's Friday, and that is my first home run of the week. So there you go. That's how my week has been going. Oh, did you forget to put one in?
Yeah. So I missed out on that one, but.
You know.
Hopefully they can.
See, and that was your day. Your guys probably would have went off. You know, it would have been a huge, huge day for you. So,
yeah, go figure. But you know, hopefully, like I said, you know, Mike Trout hits like three more, Bryce Harper hits three, and then JD Martinez hits three or four.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I need Marcus Semien to go off tonight now, you know, so we'll have to see how, you know, how that kind of works out for me. So, but now, you know, I was, you know, meant to ask you, Dan, if you read or seen or heard anything about this goofy Jameis Winston situation and the Uber driver thing.
You know, I mean, something about the growth, but I something that happened, you and I talked about last year, and I don't know what guy it was on the mothership, but yesterday I caught a clip of it, and it's for some reason my Bluetooth keeps going in and out. I heard somebody on the big talk show. You know, talking about how Frank before and they've never acted like that. And, you know, the NFL is doing their deal and suspending him for three games. And, you know, he pledged to give up alcohol. And, you know, he did all the whole song and dance that you're supposed to do when you get caught and in trouble like this. So,
yeah, I got it. You know, I got to tell you, Dan, I am so sick of listening to these idiots get on their high horse and crush the NFL. They suspended him for three games. They are not the law. They're not police. They're not court system. They're none of this. It is not their job to discipline these guys to your satisfaction. All right? Press charges, have them arrested, let them go through the legal system like everybody else freaking does. Stop coming down on the NFL when you perceive this as a light sentence. You know, maybe it is. I don't know the situation. I know the Uber driver came out and said that they were glad that the NFL suspended them for three games. Maybe I believe it's a female. Maybe she's happy with that. That's all that matters. You know, she was the one who had the issue with them. She's the one we should be worried about. I heard idiots today, Dan, that said the Buccaneers should cut him and he should be suspended from playing in the NFL forever because he's a repeat offender. The problem is his other offenses were when he was in college. So now we're going back and holding against you what you did in college? Well, when do we get to high school or middle school or, you know, elementary school? You know, I mean, we've all done things we regret.
For what his father did back in the 60s or 70s.
Right. Right. You know, You know, and I understand there's no way to make these idiots happy because this is who they are and that's what they do, and they're going to get on their moral high horse, even though a lot of them have had these same issues down the line, and it'll come out eventually with them. You know, there's been a, random talk about all these guys through the years that, you know, they've harassed people or whatever. And, you know, they've managed to, like Dan said, kowtow and say the right things and, hang on to their jobs so they can come on here and tell us what we're supposed to think about Jameis Winston. It's clear this guy is not a good person. You know, he feels entitled. You can just go back again, look at his college days for that. You know, he feels entitled for whatever reason because he's a star athlete. And sadly, Florida State didn't do anything to deny that. And, you know, they just basically encouraged the trait. So, this is what we get. We get an entitled adult who's a talented athlete. And what I love, Dan, is the fact that they're like, yeah, well, Tampa Bay should just cut him. You know how many teams without quarterbacks would be lining up to sign him up and give him another chance?
Well, and I mean, you want to base things on, you know, go attack his character from college. Why aren't we going after FSU?
Well, you know, and then I found it humorous because some guy tried to say that it was one of the idiots I saw on Sports Nation, a guy by the name, they call him LZ. I don't know what his real name is. You know, he's another, just some entitled sports writer who thinks he's somebody special. Mentioned that Colin Kaepernick got cut for doing the right thing. I don't think Colin Kaepernick got cut. I believe they allowed his contract, or no, he actually opted out of his contract to enter free agency. So there was no cutting Colin Kaepernick. You would think a guy who works for the Mickey Mouse Network would have a fact checker who could give him these things before he opens up his mouth. But yeah, I don't believe there was any cutting involved with Colin Kaepernick. And it's also subjective on if he did the right thing or not. You know, maybe that's your belief. I don't care what your belief is because you're a talking head on television. Let me make my own decision. I don't have any issues with what Kaepernick did. You know, I support his right to do it. I just kind of wish he would have found another way to do it. I think I've said here before, I hold the national anthem in a little higher regard than that and would have liked to see him respect it. But it was his decision. I understand that's what he chose to do. In no way are these two issues related, Dan. Can you find a common ground here that I missed?
No, I mean, it took an entitled kid to actually lose his job to try to equate that to being the African Americans of the country being oppressed, which I mean, before he was drafted to the 49ers, he was being scouted by the Cubs. He was a dual sport player. You know, this was a kid who had honors, you know, graduation through college. He was, you know, intelligent, was given all the opportunities, and you know, coincidentally, he's going to do the kneeling. And you can tell me, say what you want, but you know, how convenient was it that he was kneeling for oppression when, after he lost his job, and it wasn't anything to do with his race, more so than it had to do with the fact that Harbaugh took a job in Michigan, and the new system or the new, you know, coaches and stuff decided that they didn't want to go with Colin Kaepernick, and they went with, which happens in every sport, they went with their guy.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, you know, just again, you know, one of those things, and, you know, I guess, you know, that, you know, I, you know, my question is, you know, why, you know, I mean, and I get it. It's a weird situation, but why does the Uber driver call the cops? You know,
why
I mean,
would he call the cops? You know,
or
would he just call the NFL?
Yeah, you know, that was that, you know, that was the thing, and I don't know this for a fact, but I believe there may have been a financial agreement reached between Winston's lawyers and the Uber driver. I don't know that to say, but I thought I heard that somewhere down the road. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to dig into that a little deeper, but you know, we'll have to see. I mean, cause you know, obviously, you know, there are guys, you know, guys do get arrested in the NFL, sadly, quite a bit. You know, it happens a lot of times. It's just DUI or, you know, stuff like that. But sadly, they have their share of domestic violence and everything else that is, you know, plaguing our country today here. And yeah, you know, that was my question is, you know, file that police report. Let them handle it, because again, you know, you drop this in the NFL's lap. This isn't their job. You know, they're not judge, jury, and you know, decision makers here. So, but yet, you know, oh yeah, well, you know, he should be caught. He should be suspended forever. Okay, great. You know, now what?
Well, you know what the problem is, Big Jack, is what you and I don't understand, or what we will never understand, is I'm actually on the cusp where I'm not really a millennial, because I don't agree or, you know, share the same thoughts of millennials. But actually the class I'm in right now is all about business ethics and how it's more about, you know, feeling good about what you're doing. You know, where millennials will take a job that pays less money so that they can take more vacations, and, you know, they'll take a job where they will make less money if they can feel good about what they're doing, i.e. the NFL. So for the NFL to continue to compete in the market, which I really don't think they have any obligation, because that's part of a business is making money, generating revenue. I really don't think they have an obligation to put these things out there or to suspend him for 3 games or whatever, but it's part of the way society is today. And sadly, it's going that route, but eventually, you know, when millennials start realizing that they're not going anywhere, everything will start to shift again. But right now, we're just going to have to deal with this until possibly, what do you figure, the next 30 years or maybe the next 20 years, when all the big cats are still making the money and the millennials are tie up their hair and hair buns and grow out their beards anymore.
So, well, on the positive of the NFL side, Dan, if you get a chance, you can find the highlight of Odell Beckham hitting a home run to left field during batting practice in Yankee Stadium today.
Well, good for him.
So,
yeah, he doesn't do all that stuff, but I might be the only one who thinks he's kind of overrated.
Yeah, well, you know, let's see how he does after he's hurt. You know, better news for you also, Dan, Addison Russell just hit a grand slam to give the Cubs a 6-5 lead. So you're having a heck of an end of the podcast today. Look at that.
Yeah, I wish I put him in my lineup. Topic for Monday, right?
Hit the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. And remember that Twitter feed is at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you got questions. We'll answer them for you. I'd like to thank you. As always, a big thanks for listening live. It's just an awesome when you jump on and do that to Dan and I. But don't forget, you can go over to TuneIn.com. Listen to that.